David was in a six-man raft, but it wasn't a pleasure cruise. He was heading up a river in Vietnam, and the jungle had enemies all around. He was wary as he crouched in his craft, and as they went forward, shots began to ring out from the left bank. Instinctively, David reaches down, grabs a phosphorus grenade, pulls the pin, cocks it back to throw. And just then, the shot hit the grenade, and it exploded right in his ear. Taking off, fingers instantly melting his face, his shoulder, and his arm. He fell into the river, and the water only made the phosphorus burn worse. Somehow he managed to get to the shore, crawl up into the mud before he fell unconscious. As the firefight died down, his buddies came over to him, looked at the sickening wounds, and gave him up for dead, called the medic helicopter. As the helicopter loaded him on, his flesh was still so hot he melted through the canvas stretcher. But they put him in the helicopter and whisked him away. As he was laying in the helicopter, the hole in his windpipe prevented him from saying anything, but he managed to bring up a hand, cover the hole, and gurgle, scaring the medic almost out of the copter. Lots of surgeries, painful recovery. And then David was told that his wife would be flown in. What would happen? How would she receive him? What would she think? As he lay there in the open hospital ward, he'd seen countless other wives come in, go to their husband's bedside, recoil in horror, take the ring, throw it on the bed, and rush from the room in tears. David knew he was the worst. How would his wife react? What would happen as she came in? What would it be like? Very often we can tell what people are like by how they react, can't we? We begin to see what's real, don't we? Let's take a look at how people reacted to Jesus. What? He's not going to tell us the rest of the story? Yeah, I'll get to it. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 tells the story of a woman that came to Jesus while he sat eating at the house of Simon the Pharisee. And I want to think about the reaction of three people to Jesus. I want to think of how Judas reacted. I want to think of how Simon reacted. And I want to think of how Mary reacted. The disciples, as they saw this, were indignant. Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask. Yeah. A very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste. Can you imagine? Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Whew. Can you imagine? Can you imagine as they whispered this around the table? But it did have a start, you know. There was a place where this thought started, where the seed was planted. Look with me, hold your finger there. Look with me in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Because we find there where this seed was planted. Chapter 12, John chapter 12, beginning with verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Verse 4, now watch. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, no known relation there, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And so it was passed around the table. Yeah, why wasn't this sold? Man, that's a lot of money. It could have been given to the poor. But notice what John says is Judas's motivation. What was revealed behind this action? As we see Judas react to what was done here for Jesus, this wonderful thing for Jesus was done. What was the motivation? Was it that Judas was such a great guy? Wanted to help out so many people? Look at verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this man as the Lord of glory come down to earth was being returned just a small token of what he had given to our world? He's begrudged even that. Oh, why this waste? Judas was a thief, and it was brought out. Judas had realized about a year before, when Jesus had fed the 5,000, you know, in John chapter 6, it's recorded, where after feeding those 5,000, more were coming because they wanted the food. And Jesus said, you know, it's not all about the fish and the loaves, but my kingdom is about my words, you remember? You remember he said that you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, right? But he wasn't talking about his literal flesh and blood. He was talking about the words that were spirit and life. And a little bell went off in Judas's head, I think, and he went, well, now I get it. There's really not going to be much here to look forward to, is there? No great kingdom? Sure, I have this dinky little money box now, but I guess I'll never grow up to be the great treasurer of the whole world. This is not going to happen for me, is it? But I'll watch just in case. We'll see what happens. And so he watched. For a year, he watched. But he knew that it wasn't going to happen. And now, today, Jesus turns back to Matthew 26, verse 10. Jesus was aware of these sayings going around the table, and he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. I wonder where Jesus' glance was as he said, for you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. Hmm. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial for her. And as Jesus commended what this woman had done and told that this was but a token of what he, the Creator, had given and made for the world, Judas realized that this was a condemnation of himself. And it began to grow and fester in his heart. And if you notice, what's the next verse say he does? He went out to the chief priests. He went to get revenge, to betray his Lord. Judas valued Jesus at the price for which he sold him. He put into the scales and balanced the life of the Son of God with a few paltry coins. Can you imagine? We find Judas's reaction reveals his heart. His lack of love was evident in his actions. Well, what about Simon? Simon, in verse 6, Jesus came to Bethany. It was at the house of Simon the leper. Apparently, Simon was a leper at one time that had been healed by Jesus. But not just a leper. This was a leper, if we turn to the experience in Luke chapter 7, we find that this leper was also a Pharisee. Turn with me, Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down. So here was this Pharisee, very scrupulous, very careful, very zealous to make sure he always stayed clean. And who comes up with leprosy? Simon the Pharisee. Now, Simon the leper. And as Jesus had healed him, this drew Simon's heart because he had been a pitiful case. Diseased, dying, leprous, outcast, unclean permanently. And Jesus had cleansed him. It drew Simon's heart. And yet, in the drawing, there was still enough self-righteousness there for him to condemn the woman and even to judge Jesus. Take a look. And behold, verse 37, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. He spoke to himself. Notice, he wasn't ready to air this little juicy tidbit. He spoke to himself. Saying, this man. This what? This man. Wait a minute. Jesus healed his leprosy. This man? This man, if he were a prophet, you see it building here? This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. You see how easy it is for him to call her a sinner? because he knew he'd put her there. And he looks at Jesus and he begins to think about reading Jesus' heart. If this guy knew, clearly he doesn't know. He thinks he's reading Jesus. He thinks he knows all about him. He understands all about Jesus. So verse 40, Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And I half think that Simon was startled. Huh? Oh, well, please go ahead. Maybe he didn't even really hear what he had said, but, you know, figured that was the best course of action, you know, to just let him go, right? And figure it out as he went along. There was a certain creditor, Jesus said, who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, see, this isn't a matter of some sins are better or worse than the other. Neither of them could repay, right? You get it? So neither of them could repay. He freely did what? Forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, Jesus said, which of them will love him more? Ooh, Simon's uncomfortable. Now I have to make a decision here. I have to answer this question. And he'd watched Jesus do this kind of question. And everybody on the other end of these always ended up not so good. So he puts it real tentatively. I suppose, I love that. I suppose, yeah, right. I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Whew, dodge that bullet. You have judged rightly, Jesus said. And then Simon began to think, uh-oh. This parable, I get it. I get it. This parable is about me and this woman. I get it. I was healed from leprosy, and this woman, huge sinner, she was healed. That's why she loves more. I get it. She was so big a sinner, and now, I get it now. Jesus forgave her. I really get it. This is all about her being a really big sinner. Sure, I had leprosy and all, but she, whoa, you know, whoa, and me, you know, I get it. That's why she's like that, and it's all good. It's cool. Verse 44. Then he turned to the woman. Now, notice what Jesus does here. He turns to the woman, but says to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. See, you wanted to honor me some by having this dinner, but you didn't wash my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, not even a greeting kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. Now, the next time we have foot washing service, no. Verse 46, you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Boy, was Simon embarrassed. Was he ashamed of himself? It was clear he loved little. And in the parable, And in this explanation, he realized that Jesus was, in fact, telling about him and the woman and his big sin and her little one. This wasn't about her big sin and his little one. This was about his big sin. He'd been healed of leprosy, a living death. And yet, how thankful was he? Oh, sure, come on in and have dinner. I'm not washing your feet, though. I'm not even going to greet you with a kiss. I was so unthankful for all that Jesus had done for me. And now, when he could have said, you unthankful, ungrateful person, you. I did this thing for you, and you think a dinner's good? Well, that's really swell, thanks. Jesus could have said that, but Jesus was careful for Simon. Jesus loved Simon. Jesus worked with Simon to help him see without condemnation, as he wanted to do to the woman. Simon began to see how Jesus loved him more and more, and began to realize how much he owed to the Lord of glory. And he realized, he began to get it. This is about me. I'm the great debtor. And Simon's heart was broken. Simon changed his life. Simon began to love much, to be self-sacrificing, to give of himself. He turned his life around. And we see from his reaction to Jesus what his life was like. Back to Matthew 26. Back to Matthew 26, verse 7. Matthew 26, verse 7. A woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. And we know from the others that we have just read that not only that, but she cried because she understood. She knew where she had come from. She knew the ugliness of her past. She knew the depths to which the Savior reached down, grabbed her, and pulled her up. She knew what God had done for her and how thankful she was. The gratitude filled her heart and spilled out, much as the broken alabaster box spilled out with this fragrant oil and couldn't be contained. It spread this beautiful fragrance through the room. Such was the life of Mary as it poured out its love for Jesus. She wept as she thought of what had been done for her. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. What God has done for me. This was what motivated her life. This is what moved her to action. This is what drove her to serve her Lord, to honor him, to give to him. Mary understood that this whole year's wages worth of fragrant oil that she had earned wasn't really hers to begin with. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. She was simply returning a tiny portion. Mary understood who it was that she wanted to honor, that this was the Lord of glory, the God of heaven, the only one who can forgive sins. This was God come down among men. God with us, Emmanuel. Mary understood and showed how highly she prized the Savior when she accounted the most precious gift none too costly for him. She understood. I want you to listen carefully now. Do you think this sermon is about giving more for the roof over there? Do you think this sermon is about helping out with evangelistic series? Is it about giving time and money? In other words, I'm asking you, how are you reacting to this sermon? How are you reacting to Jesus? Is it all about the money? Is it all about right and wrong? And who's a sinner? Or is it all about that golden thread, that relationship between you and your Lord? You see, if it's all about this, if it's all about that relationship, if it's all about you and Jesus, then I know that he will take care of his own. I'm not worried about the other stuff. I'm not worried about roofs. I'm not worried about evangelistic series. Because, like Mary, you won't be able to contain yourself. When we fall in love with Jesus, his love comes into our hearts, wells up, and can't help but come out in deeds of mercy and love to the world around us. It can't help it. It cannot be otherwise. This sermon is about why we serve God with our money, with our time, with everything we have. It's about why. We serve because we love him for who he is and for what he has done for us. When David saw his wife framed in the doorway of that open ward, he began to think about that speech that he'd prepared and what he would say, and maybe there was just this tiniest hope. The tears of hope and despair running down his cheeks as she drew near. And suddenly, his mind forgets all about the speech and he blurts out, "I'm sorry for the way I look." His wife pauses for a moment, reaches down and presses her soft lips against the worst of the burned flesh and oozing sores, and says, "Who said I married you for your looks anyway?" Why did she marry David? Why did you marry Christ? What is it that motivates you? We love John says in 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Ephesians 5:2. When we realize the full debt of obligation that we owe to our Savior, we are united closer to him. And our love will be expressed in our actions. Jesus will remember our acts of service. Our self-sacrificing, benevolent acts will be living in his memory. There is no sacrifice too costly to be offered on the altar of our faith. This morning, I invite you to fall in love again with Jesus. Because it's not about money. It's not about right and wrong. It's not about anything other than our love for Jesus that should motivate us to action. That's what it's all about. That is what reveals where we really are in our relationship with Jesus. How do we act? What is our reaction? If it's love for the Lord, nothing is too good for him. If it's about getting to heaven, sometimes we're tempted to think, man, is this worth it? If it's about avoiding hell, then we're thinking, I'm good enough. If it's about love for Jesus that drives you in all that you do, that makes it so that you cannot withhold your gifts and your service to him, there is no sacrifice too much. How can you outgive God? It's not going to happen. Because you see, Mary gave a year's wages and has been remembered for the rest of eternity by the one she loved. And that's really all that mattered. I want to give you an opportunity again today to fall in love with the Lord. To say yes again, to see yourself again. And for me, maybe it's that I haven't been grateful enough, that I haven't really been ready to give all because I didn't realize how much had been given for me. And I want to give you that opportunity just now. To come again to the Lord and say, I want to give my life again, wholly, completely given to the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for Jesus. We are amazed that not only did you give us this world and all of its bounties and beauties, but when we messed it up, you came to give yourself to redeem it again. And not only to redeem it, but to redeem me. To redeem each one of us personally again. Father, we look with awe at the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, And Father, we acknowledge just now that we cannot repay this debt. And we are so thankful that you have forgiven us. Lord, we want to give the best that we have. We want to give all that we have. And Father, just now, we want to give ourselves. Maybe there are those here this morning who want to make that a move in their life today. I invite you, if you want to give your life to Jesus again today, to come to sit on the front row. Come just now. Sit on the front row. To give your life to God again. To make it known what your reaction is. Father, as we come just now, we want to give our lives to you. We come giving our whole life to you, not just a part, not just a little, not this much, but I need this for my family. Not just a little, but all of it. We know you'll take care of our family. We know you'll take care of us. We know that we are in your hand. And we want to give our lives to you. Father, just now, we're coming forward for you, giving our life to you again, showing you by our actions that we turn to you. We thank you again for this opportunity, Father, that you have been so kind to us, and we give our lives to you. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we go from this place, we'll be tested. There will come temptations to think that it's about this, it's about that, it's about... No. It's about you. It's about our relationship. This is why we serve. Because it's about you. Help us through this week to stay close to you. To give our all, poured out with our tears of weeping and our tears of joy that you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name, amen.